If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 756. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about surfing and civil rights, alligators and airboats, shark fishing and space travel, as we go to Florida's Space Coast. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about the Space Coast of Florida. I'd like to welcome to the show Stacy Marmalejo from FloridaBeachBreak.com, who's come to talk to us about a region of the Florida coast. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate you having me here.
And what region are we talking about?
We are talking about the Space Coast of Florida, which is actually a barrier island. It starts at the north with Cape Canaveral. Most people know that for Kennedy Space Center, and goes down to Melbourne Beach on the south. It's about an hour's drive southeast of Orlando, and it is a barrier island, so it has the Atlantic Ocean on the east side and the Indian River on the west side. I happen to live in the town of Indy Atlantic, so.
Got it. And why should someone go to the Space Coast of Florida?
It's not for everybody, I will tell you that, but who it is for people who love to be outdoor and active while they're on their vacation. So if you love the ocean and you love the water, there are tons of water activities, obviously surfing, paddleboarding, parasailing. Fishing is huge down here. And if you prefer to stay on land, then there's great golf courses. If you're coming with kids, there's a fabulous zoo. In fact, in our little area that a lot of people haven't even heard of, we have the number one zoo in Southeast United States as named by USA Today Top 10.
Excellent. Well, what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Well, I'll give you what I would do, and then I'll throw in some, but if you don't want that, here's some other things too, because obviously everybody isn't the same as I am. But if I were going to spend a week on the Space Coast, my ideal vacation would include one active activity during the day and one passive activity during the day. That's typically how I enjoy traveling on vacation.
Okay.
So I may do a surf lesson in the morning. And one tip that I'd really like everyone to know, this may hold true for other coastal destinations as well, just something to be aware of. But I know for sure on the Space Coast, if you're going to take surf lessons or if you're going to rent a surfboard, don't do it from the guy that's right there on the beach.
Okay.
He has the worst gear. He doesn't take care of it. He probably doesn't own it. He's probably an hourly employee just hanging out on the beach, handing out the surfboards for the money. But there are so many surf tour guides or people who get surf instructors who will bring the surfboard to you. They'll meet you at the beach. They'll pick it up for you at the end of your vacation. It's no more expensive than the guy on the beach. Sometimes it's less expensive than the guy on the beach, and it's definitely better quality. A couple of surf places that I've done some activities with that I would highly recommend. One is Pure Aloha. I think it's Pure Aloha. It is run by a guy, his name's Chase. He's a former pro surfer out of Hawaii.
I was going to guess that.
Right? And he ended up getting injured and he lost his sponsorship. So he was no longer surfing professionally. So he moved to the Space Coast of Florida and he started up a surf school. Really, really cool guy, very chill vibe. Great fun to be with, great lessons. And he's one of those that really meticulously takes care of his gear. If you're staying in a hotel, he's happy to bring it to you. He'll pick it up at the end. If you want lessons, cool. If you just want to rent the board, that's cool with him too. Really great guy. And another wonderful place to get either surf lessons or a surf board. This one's coming out of Costa Rica. And now you'll know why I stumbled on that Pure Aloha. This one's Pura Vida.
Okay.
So it's Pure Aloha or Pura Vida, which is the good life in Costa Rica. Yeah. So either one of those, they'll hook you up with great gear and great lessons.
Okay. So that's our active
So that's
activity.
My active for the day.
Okay.
And then my passive for the day is going to be I like museums, so you're going to hear that theme a lot.
Okay.
The McCarty Treasure Museum. So in the early 1700s, there was I don't know if you'd call it an armada, but a fleet of Spanish ships carrying gold and silver. And they encountered, I think, a storm. I'm not really sure, but I think a storm. Anyway, they sunk right off the Space Coast. And so all of their treasures were brought up and they were put in this McCarty Treasure Museum. So if you like pirate booty, I think you'd really enjoy the McCarty Treasure Museum and all of the gold and silver and fine goods that got pulled out from that wreckage.
Okay.
So,
not technically pirate booty, but similar sort of thing.
Some booty.
And treasure fleet, yes, is the correct term for that.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. So that's sort of my day one. Day two, I would do a kayak trip twice while I was down here.
Okay.
So on the second day, I would do one of my kayak trips, and that would be kayaking through the mangrove tunnels.
Okay.
I don't know if you know anything about mangroves. I certainly didn't before I moved down here, but there are like four kinds of mangroves and two of them are only found in Florida and some of them are also in Georgia and the Carolinas, but they literally grow in the water and they grow sort of and create a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people like to paddleboard where they also kayak, but these are so low and narrow that you can't get through on a paddleboard. So you literally have to take a kayak through there. And there's several kayak tour guides here on the Space Coast. The one that I've done my tours with is called Coco Kayaking. And I picked them because Genevieve is the owner. She's very behind the scenes, but she takes $2 out of every tour that she does and she donates it to a program that buys lunches for the school kids in the area that can't afford it.
Hmm.
I liked that she was giving back to the community, so that's why I chose them to go with.
And this sounds like the sort of thing where it would be good to have a guide so you know where the heck you're going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. You can rent a kayak on your own, but I love going with the guide because not only do they know the area, but they also know the species of things. So
right.
For example, when we were going through the mangrove tunnel, our guide pulled this plant off of something that was growing and said, "Here, eat this." And we were like, "Huh?" He's like, no, it's sea celery. Now, it actually has some official scientific name, but it's known as sea celery. And sure enough, it tasted like celery. It was just a little moister than land celery.
Hmm.
And then they find these little crabs, and the crabs like to... I wish you could see my hands. I'm trying to figure out how to describe this.
Audio only, I'm afraid. We can have a picture in later on, but we do have to get the audio description.
So there are jelly combs, and when people think of jellyfish, they oftentimes think of stinging jellyfish, but these jelly combs here don't have stingers, but they have that translucent look to them that you think of when you think of jellyfish.
Okay.
So the jelly combs are sort of like a bowl, if you will. And these crab like to go along the side of the bowl and just burrow in there and let the jellyfish take care of them and give them a place to live. And so these guides are really good about finding these jelly combs and opening them up and pulling the crab out so you can see it. And I'm trying to think of the other things that we saw in there through the mangrove tunnels. It was absolutely fascinating. And the time we went in the afternoon. So when we came out of the mangrove tunnel, the sun was setting.
Okay.
So here we were in these kayaks coming out of this tunnel with this very calm water in front of us and the sun setting over the horizon. It was magical. It was just beautiful.
Well, and I'm going to ask, before we get too far in, what time of year you'd recommend? Because you mentioned the afternoon, and I have been to that region of Florida. I've been up to Orlando, for instance, in the heat of the summer. And in the afternoon, you're in the middle of a thunderstorm pretty much every day. So
sometime, yep.
When should I come if I want to do this outdoor activities?
Well, I did the kayaking in February? Yeah, late February is when I went. But they have other types of kayaking trips, and they are month dependent, I guess is the way to say it. Because another one of the tours that they do that's very popular, unique to Florida and unique to the Space Coast, is the bioluminescent tours.
Sure.
I don't know if you've heard of those, but
I've done them in Vieques.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yeah. So for those who don't know, the bioluminescent tours, the microorganisms that live in the ocean at certain times of year, when they're disturbed, they turn these fluorescent colors, fluorescent blue and fluorescent green. And so you can go in the mangroves or on paddle boards, actually, and go on these tours. And again, Coco kayaking will take you to the right spots where you can be paddling and see this illumination, turning the dark waters a vibrant lit up blue and green. It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our active activity of the second day.
Yep. And then now I'm going back to a different museum. I'm going to the Navy SEAL Museum. I had no idea that it was there before I moved there, obviously. But I also didn't really know the history of the Navy SEALs. So the Navy SEALs were formed in World War II. And they were formed in Fort Pierce, which is just south of us. And that is where they would do their training to storm Normandy.
Okay.
Was right there on the Space Coast. And they did their training there, and then they went over to Europe in World War II, and they continued to train there. So they built this Navy SEAL Museum, and they built a replica training course. So like if you're thinking, I didn't do it, I'm just telling you, let's be real.
Okay.
But if you're thinking you're good enough to be a Navy SEAL, there's one quick way to find out. Is to go through their replica training course. So you get the history of the Navy SEALs. You get to see sort of where the whole beach training was, and then you can do the replica course to see if you've got what it takes. So
well, and you say when they started in World War II and in Normandy, they were the underwater demolition teams that went early to blow up anti-tank mines and things like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So,
interesting.
And yep, you wouldn't think of that as just being on a little beach in Florida, but I guess everything starts somewhere, right? So, yeah.
So that's our second day.
That's the second day.
Okay.
The third
I've got the
day,
rhythm here.
Yep. And by the way, there are a couple of hours in there somewhere where I'm just chilling on the beach with a brew. The third day, I'm going shark fishing.
Okay.
I actually went last week for the first time, didn't catch anything, but I tell you what happened is I had a bite and that sucker pulled me from the middle of the boat to the front of the boat and then the line snapped. And the fishing guide said that the line was for up to 250 pounds. So he said that shark had to have been over 250 pounds to snap that line. Okay, you're not. Okay. You're thinking I'm telling a fish tale, aren't you?
No, I am not. I prefer when the fish are biting; they're not biting me. So.
Well, you know, to be honest, there are a lot of shark in the water down here. So when the surfers are out and the lifeguards are in their lifeguard stations, they're on alert to watch for the sharks, particularly coming into swimming areas. If you go out far enough, it's going to be pretty common for them to swim under your surfboard. But your chances of being bit based on historical data is 1 in 1.1 million. So each year.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good
so know. It's kind of like the alligators, you know? We're afraid of the alligators. We're afraid of the shark. But they don't want us in their world any more than we want them. So if you just be respectful, they for the most part, will leave you alone. The alligators don't like you getting near their nests. So that can be a problem, like when you're hiking. There's a lot of, I'm kind of taking a tangent here, but there are a lot of nature preserves in the area and miles and miles of hiking trails. And going through there, if you don't know what you're looking for, you may come across an alligator nest. And if mama's around, she's not going to like that too much. So that's why I stay out of the nature preserves. But people go in there all the time. I say, don't be afraid of the alligators. But truth be told, I'm not going in the hiking trails. I prefer to see my alligators from the airboat ride, the swamp rides.
Okay.
So that would be another day activity. Oh, did I give the, yeah. No,
no
so
did
I
not.
Did the kayak and the Navy SEAL. So then the next day I'm going on my airboat ride through the swamps. There's.
What was the combination with the shark fishing?
Oh, sorry. I forgot my shark fishing. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So then I'm doing the American Space Museum and Walk of Fame. So most people who come down want to go see Kennedy and the Visitor Center. And since COVID, a lot of Kennedy has been shut down. The Visitor Center has, but they're still charging the same admission. So, so I went and paid the admission and I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't go on their website to find out that all these things were closed. So I only found out once I got there. And so I kind of thought it was a little bit pricey for what I got. So I would hold off on Kennedy until they're fully open from COVID.
Okay.
But I liked the American Space Museum and Walk of Fame. It's built by several people who, and the things that are there have been contributed by people who either worked at NASA, were contractors for NASA, astronaut families. So it's all as authentic as what you see at Kennedy. It's just not as big and robust.
Okay.
So that's my afternoon, the American Space Museum. So now I'm going on my airboat ride with swamp donkeys.
Swamp donkeys.
I'm actually not sure whether it's singular or plural, but it's an airboat. Swamp donkey airboat rides in Melbourne. It's about 30 minutes inland.
Okay.
Because you got to get it inland, obviously, to get to the swamps. So it's about 30 minutes inland, and it's an airboat, which, for those who might not know, it's the bottom's sort of like a pontoon in that it's flat, but then it has this giant big fan on the back of it that propels it forward. So it can go in shallow
water. Giant big loud fan.
Yes. Yes, if you're taking kids, put earphones over their ears, they'll be much happier.
Right. The picture that I'm looking at, they offer that for non-kids as well.
Yes. Well, I didn't wear the ear protection, but I've been to a lot of rock concerts in my life, so.
Okay.
I have natural ear protection because I have a hard time hearing. Anyway. Yes, you should wear ear protection. Let's do the PSA, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the swamp donkeys, you're going to see alligator. You're going to see bald eagles landing on the big wooden posts that are out in the swamps. And they're really good at pointing the alligators out because they're so easy to miss. It is really easy to miss those guys. But the airboat pilots they know where they are and they've got a good eye for spotting them. So it's fun and exciting without getting too close.
Well, and just riding an airboat is pretty darn fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. And particularly if you're from, like, I spent 30 years in Minnesota before I moved down here, right?
Not as many swamps and airboats.
No, not at all. 10,000 lakes, but no airboats. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty, I'm living this like a tourist down here now. I've been here since September, and I absolutely, there's so much to do outside and just be active, engaged outside. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Not as many snowmobile opportunities, though.
No, but I had 30 years of snowmobiling, so I think that was enough.
Oh, right then.
Time for something else. So the airboat in the day, and then I'm going to one more museum, and this is my last museum. And I just discovered this a couple weeks ago. It's the Harry and Harriet Moore Museum.
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got, packed with dry ice, came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. Okay.
And I had no idea who they were. And I always thought that the civil rights was always led by Martin Luther King and there was nothing before him. And wasn't that what I was taught in school in history? And Harry and Harriet Moore were actually a couple in the small town of Mims, Florida, which is a little bit north of us. And they were pioneers in the early civil rights movement.
In the 30s and 40s. I'm looking it up, their website.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That wasn't a question. Sorry, that was a statement.
I thought you were testing me. Thank you for not putting me on the spot. And they were very well educated, but of course they were living at a time of segregation. Sure. And so Harry was a school teacher. Harriet was a school teacher. Then she became an insurance broker. And they were leading the way. They were the pioneers for the NAACP chapter in Brevard County, which is where the Space Coast is. Mm-hmm. And he was the first executive secretary for the NAACP for the state of Florida. And he grew his chapter to, I believe they said it in the museum, the largest chapter there was in the South at that time. Hmm. And what happened was December 25th, 1951. It was their 25th wedding anniversary. And they had 2 daughters and they had celebrated Christmas and their wedding anniversary. And they went to bed and somebody planted a bomb underneath their bedroom floor. Hmm. And blew them up, and obviously they were killed. And they are now considered the first martyrs of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, well, there were a lot more people who died well before that. So, but they were more active in the NAACP, which is probably why they consider that. Yeah, and then actually, okay. The worst part of the story, I mean, as if that isn't bad enough, is they were taken to a local hospital. They lived long enough to be taken to a hospital that wouldn't treat them because they were black.
Correct. As a matter of fact, and again, I'm going on my memory from having gone to the museum, but they wouldn't even transport him. Like, I think it was Harriet's brother who had to come get them and take them.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't even transport them because they were black. So, yeah. So at the museum, of course, you learn about it, but they also have a replica of their home from the day. Mm-hmm. And just fascinating people that with a history that I knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we're on to our next day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going parasailing today.
Okay.
Not really water, but sort of water. Flying up over the ocean, being pulled in a parachute behind a boat. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that's one of those things that you just always have to do on a beach vacation. I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever done parasailing. So.
Really?
I haven't. I know nothing of, I mean, I know what it involves, but I have not done it.
Oh, you have to do it, Chris. So I am somewhat afraid of heights, but typically not like airplane kind of thing, but mm-hmm. like skiing mountains. I kind of like the green runs, not the black runs. And so the first time I went up, I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And I was just holding on for dear life. And then when I kind of, I had my eyes closed. And then when I kind of looked up and there was this cool breeze and you could see for miles and you were up above the ocean, it was like you were flying. It's like, that must be how birds feel.
Hmm.
It's you have to do it. Next time you go to a beach, you have to do it.
Excellent. And what are we doing that is, you've run out of museums, so what is our non-active part?
I've run out of museums, so I'm going to the zoo.
Ah, okay.
I mentioned the zoo earlier.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of the cool, well, there's a couple cool things about this zoo in particular. I mean, it's small compared to like the San Diego Zoo and, you know, sure. the world famous zoos. It's relatively small, but it's very well maintained and it's got a zip line course that you can fly above the zoo if you want.
Okay.
And above the animals. And it's got a kayaking path that you can kayak through the animals.
Hmm. That's different.
Yep. It's got if you want to feed the giraffes, they have a lot of giraffes there, which mm-hmm. I have no idea why, but they have giraffes there.
Okay.
Not that they're native to Florida.
No.
So I'm not sure why, but.
Because they're awesome.
Because they're awesome. And you can go up on this platform and the giraffes come up to you and you can feed them. Hmm. So, yeah.
And that is the Brevard Zoo.
Brevard.
Brevard Zoo. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And that's because we're in Brevard County.
Got it. All right.
Yeah. So like I'm talking about all these water sports, right? So mm-hmm. there are actually things to do on land as well. I don't happen to be a golfer, but there are some great golf courses. I'm told they're great. They look pretty. They're green. Minnesota has a lot of golf courses too, but they all tend to be private. Mm-hmm. Whereas most of the courses down here, even if they're affiliated with a country club, they typically have open public tee times.
Oh, okay.
So if golfers enjoy golfing, because it does get so hot down here, particularly in the summertime, a lot mm-hmm. of golfers like to start their tee times way early in the morning. So
right.
That might be one of the reasons I never took it up.
Fair enough.
One of the things that actually really surprised me when I came, in my younger years, I used to like to scuba dive when I traveled. And again, not something that's readily available in Minnesota, so it'd been a while. Mm-hmm. And the Space Coast itself doesn't have a lot of scuba diving per se,
okay.
but we have a lot of dive shops because there's some great dive spots about an hour south, maybe up to 2 hours south of the Space Coast. So for those who do enjoy scuba diving, if they hook up with one of the many dive shops here on the Space Coast, they can check in with them on any day trips that they have.
And where would you go as a day trip, for instance, from the Space Coast?
HATS, HATTS. One of the places they go down to is West Palm.
Oh, okay.
West Palm Beach. Yep.
Got it.
And actually, there's a shipwreck up off of Daytona Beach that I know some of the dive centers take people up to do the shipwreck dive.
Cool. Are there more activities we want to talk about before we talk about some of the other things in the area?
A couple of things I would talk about would be, again, these are kind of further into the extreme, but if there are any skydivers listening,
mm-hmm.
there's a skydive center in Cape Canaveral that is the highest skydiving dive, however you say that, in North America.
Okay. Good to know. I'll be looking right into that.
I know, right? Me too. What I would do, because they'll let you do this, is you can go along for the ride and not jump, because it goes right over Kennedy as they're going up.
Oh,
they have permission to go over Kennedy. Hmm. So
very cool.
It's called the world's highest jump at 18,000 feet.
Okay. Good to know. Any side trips you would recommend?
There are a couple. Actually, there's, you can drive a tank. So this company, I know, this company, Tank USA, used to be here on the Space Coast. And when I first moved down here, their website said that they were like remodeling or whatever. And it was like, I want to do that. I want to drive over cars and smash them. Doesn't that sound like fun? So I reached out to them and I was like, when are you going to open again? And they said, well, actually, we're relocating to the Orlando area.
Okay.
So I haven't gone over to Orlando to do it, but I would really love to drive a tank and just crawl over and smash cars.
I hear there are a few tourist activities in Orlando. And obviously,
just a couple.
You know,
just
many couple. People are going to be heading down to Orlando anyway. And so one of the reasons that I thought this would be an interesting episode to do is that it is a way to extend that trip into non-theme park kind of activities.
So it's interesting that you bring that up, Chris, because what we find a lot of times is we're the closest beach to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will come in, like you said, to vacation in Orlando, come over for the day. And then it's not unusual that they like it so much that they literally end up driving back every day. So, and the hotels on the Space Coast, comparable hotels on the Space Coast, are about $100 a night less expensive than they are in Orlando.
Hmm. And 30 miles away or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. So,
and where would you recommend someone stay in the area?
It depends on what kind of accommodations that you like. I can tell you for myself, there's two. One's a little further if you're going to use it to get back to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the Atlantic, which is, again, where I live. And it is called Oceanfront Cottages.
Okay.
They're right on the ocean, and they're little cottage suites, which are absolutely beautiful. But if you're thinking you want a home base here and go up to Orlando, then I would stay either in the Cape Canaveral area or the Cocoa Beach area, because those are going to be, the whole Space Coast is maybe a 30-minute trip. So
right.
If you're 30 minutes from Orlando at the north, then you're an hour from Orlando if you're down by me in the Atlantic. So you probably want to stay up in Cocoa Beach or Cape Canaveral.
Okay.
And there's a place up in Cocoa Beach called Beach Place Guest Houses. And it's similar to the place by me in that it's little cottages that are right on the beach in Cocoa Beach.
Got it.
That's if you're an adult, because you can take kids and stay there,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little more adulty, if you
okay.
will. So if I were staying with a family and wanting to take the kids up to Orlando as well, I'd stay at the Beachside Hotel and Suites. It's got your lazy river and a kids club, so a lot more things for the kids to do right there on the grounds.
Okay. And then things that I should eat while I'm in the area, or places that I should go.
So obviously seafood. I mean,
yep.
There's fresh catches coming in off the boats every day. Every restaurant, every seafood restaurant, every waterfront restaurant offers a fish dip. And
okay.
It really depends on what fish was caught for the day as to what they make it with, but it's really tasty. So
okay.
I've never had a fish dip anywhere that wasn't good, if you like fish. And they tend to use mild fish for it, so
mm-hmm.
it's not that overly fishy fish taste.
Okay.
Now, the thing I should also say is that the whole Space Coast is very casual.
Okay.
So if you have some huge desire to dress up to go to dinner, you have a few options. But if you want to go in shorts and a flip-flops, you have tons of options.
Okay.
And the best lobster that I have found on the Space Coast, now granted that lobster doesn't come, it's not there on the
right.
Space Coast,
uh-huh.
but there's a place in Cocoa Beach called Jazzy's Mainly Lobster. And
okay.
they fly the lobster in from Maine. And so
and
they've
mainly
got,
with an E in it for Maine.
Mainly
lobster.
With an
okay.
E in
yep.
it. Exactly. Yep. So they fly it in from Maine and it's served fresh. So that's fabulous. And you're sitting outside on, well, they do have a little small indoor, but I was there mainly during COVID. So all of the dining was, mm-hmm. was outside on picnic tables. The guy who runs the place is a huge rock and roll trivia fan.
Okay.
So bring your best stump the trivia guy with rock and roll. We have yet to stump him. So
okay.
And it doesn't matter whether it's Led Zeppelin to Guns N' Roses to Weezer. I mean, everything. The guy knows everything. It's crazy. But great lobster, great crab. I happen to love crab. Great crab. They've got it fried. They've got it broiled. So I love Jazzy's. And then the fish tacos at Sandbar in Cocoa Beach are a can't miss. Tuesdays is Taco Tuesday. Inexpensive fish tacos, inexpensive beer, and just the best you could ever want. And if you have some desire to try alligator, Sandbar also has some gator bites.
Okay.
I'm one of those who says it tastes like chicken.
A little chewier in my experience.
Okay, a little chewier, but flavor-wise, I think it kind of just, but you have to do it at least once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sandbar Sports Bar in Cocoa Beach is where you'll get that. I've fallen in love with Cuban food down here.
Sure.
And my favorite Cuban restaurant is called El Ambio Cubano, which actually isn't on the Space Coast per se. It's over the causeway in Melbourne. So there's Melbourne Beach that's on the Space Coast, and then it's a 5-minute drive over the causeway to get to Melbourne. And it's just on the other side on the mainland. It's on a river road. And just across from it is actually, it's called Canal Park. It's not really a park, but it's a little piece of concrete that you can stand on. And it's a manatee viewing area.
Huh. Okay.
So go check out the manatee. Go grab some ropa vieja and enjoy it. My adult son, my grown son, his favorite is, I think it's called Hemingway Rice. It's almost like a take on a paella.
Okay.
With a lobster tail on top. And it's less than $30. Where are you going to get lobster for less than $30? You know, it's crazy good. Oh, how could I forget? Skewers is a Mediterranean restaurant in Indy Atlantic if you like Mediterranean food. But if you're not crazy about Mediterranean food, but you eat meat, they have an unbelievable steak there. It's tender and moist and flavorful. And they have indoor dining and outdoor dining, like pretty much everywhere on the Space Coast. But I do like Mediterranean food, and it's authentic. And the guy that owns it and the chef are all, I think they're Greek, Mediterranean. Fabulous. Just fabulous.
Excellent. Anything else people need to know before they start booking their trip to the Space Coast?
Yes. When we started out talking, I talked about this being a great location for people who enjoy being outdoor and active.
Right.
It is not a good place for people who want nightlife. We have very little nightlife. That's not to say we don't have bars and restaurants that are open at night, but we don't have a place that you're going to put on, I was going to say heels, but you know, because I'm a woman, and we don't have a place where you're going to get dressed up and you're going to go out dancing and there's going to be pulsating music that you kind of think about when you think about Miami or Orlando. If you want that, you're going to do Miami or Orlando or Tampa. We're, again, very casual, very low key. It's all about being outside and enjoying the activities that nature has to offer and just chilling in the evening.
Excellent. Are we ready for our wrap up questions?
Yes, I think so.
You were standing in the prettiest spot on the Space Coast of Florida. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Oh, so I happen to think, and again, I live in Indy Atlantic, so I'm biased. Our population in Indy Atlantic is less than 3,000 people.
Okay.
So my favorite place is at the end of Fifth Avenue, which is in Indy Atlantic. It dumps right into the ocean. And, ooh, I have to give you some background on this. So I can't believe I forgot this. So sea turtles are huge. They're as important to the Space Coast as the manatees are.
Okay.
And so we have lights out for sea turtles 6 months out of the year.
Meaning that the beaches are dark.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Everything has, all the lights have to be turned out, off on the beaches from May to October.
Okay.
So the only light you have is the light of the moon. Hmm. So my favorite spot is at the end of Fifth Avenue on the edge of the water with the water lapping up on my bare feet with the breeze of the evening, because as you know, it can be very warm there in the day. So the breeze, mm-hmm. the cool breeze of the evening with the full moon and the stars out.
All right. One thing that makes you laugh and say only on the Space Coast.
Oh, wow. I'm always blown away by how the people who were born and raised here mm-hmm. have no idea what they have. Like, they don't even think about it, you know? And so when you point it out, they look at you like, huh? Doesn't everybody live on the ocean for an affordable price? I mean, my son lived in California for many years. So I think, because when I was looking to move to oceanfront, I gave that a nanosecond's thought until I saw the price, the prices and the population.
Mm-hmm.
But it blows my mind that the people who are from here take it for granted. Don't think there's anything special about it.
They're just missing the snowmobiling is what's going on there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure.
And if you had to summarize the Space Coast in three words, what three words are you going to use?
Under the radar.
Excellent. Excellent. Our guest again has been Stacy Marmolejo from FloridaBeachBreak.com. And Stacy, if we want to send people to your best post on this area, where are we going to send them?
I am partial to our sea turtles.
Okay.
So I would definitely check out the sea turtle stories on the blog. If you go to the blog page, we're always writing about our different experiences as we explore the Space Coast. So, yeah, I think I'd look at my sea turtle articles.
All right. I'll have a link in the show notes to one of Stacy's sea turtle articles. Stacy, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for your newfound home, the Space Coast of Florida.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it. And I hope that those who enjoy being outdoor and active will put the Space Coast on their bucket list to come see us soon.
As always, a special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support the show. You too can support the Amateur Traveler by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. You can get the show early and an ad-free version of the show, a monthly Zoom call, and for higher levels, you can also get things like a mug. A special thanks to Paul Bronstein, who is the most recent patron of the show. If you can't or don't want to support the show, but you just want the mug, you can go buy one at the Amateur Traveler store. Go to amateurtraveler.com/store to get a hat, a t-shirt, a mug, a sticker, or whatever. I heard from Simon about the recent episode we did on the country of Jordan. Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for the excellent edition on Jordan. It took me back to my own visit there many moons ago. But what's a few decades for buildings that have been there for thousands of years? And it made me want to return soon. Petra has to rank for me as one of my top three places in the world, along with Iguazu Falls in Argentina and the Tikal ruins in the Guatemalan jungle. And I'm so glad your guest speaker suggested making time to climb high up along the trails. Apart from a scary scorpion and a little Bedouin boy, I was totally alone up there and found it overwhelmingly beautiful. By the way, I was there in January and it snowed on my last day. Floating in the Dead Sea was another top experience, but do warn your listeners not to try to swim. The salt water will either burn your eyes or, in my case, you might cause yourself an injury. I damaged my spine trying to do the breaststroke. That actually changed my life for the better, but that's another story. Next time I'll be floating. Keep up the great travel stories, even if they give me itchy feet. Simon. And you left me hanging there, Simon, with the other story there. I would love to hear more about that. Thanks so much, Simon. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Don't forget, if you're booking travel, to go to amateurtraveler.com/affiliates. And as always, thanks so much for listening.